Claro. Claro.
So, before we start, as a lead in Keshela asks, what is Dukta? Dukta means school of thought, tenet. What is tenet? Is tenet consciousness? Is tenet material form? Or is it neither of the two? Is it what is called non-associated compositional factors? Non-associated compositional phenomena are phenomena that are neither matter nor consciousness, still phenomena. So what do you think is dukta? Now, dukta is dukta means established system, which is a school of thought or tenets.
Must be conscious consumption.
I think it must be.
Must be what?
No associated composition factor.
Okay, consciousness?
Yes, same.
Anilatang Nancy ki antruta peche sheva re es rava. Peter ke anichi gamin tuche re esu.
No.
What do other people think? You know, things are all impermanent things. Either you know, material matter like this or consciousness. Consciousness is also impermanent but not matter like this. So then there's another category of phenomena called non-associated compositional factor, which are, for example, time. In the time? Time is impermanent but not form nor consciousness. So what do other people think? What dukkha is?
The third one. The
non-associated.
Okay, but you said the third one, I couldn't say the
fourth. Pachi dukkha te semta. An sima mare rava, suva mare, ane chiki sumba te kase demin tuji sin yor bar sungu. Pachi ta sushi kain mebe ngubu. Metapa. And the Tiresha Samutusa. Accordingly, I said, but you said,
I think it's impermanent because
it's impermanent.
Impermanent.
So yep.
It changes. There are some irreducible ideas maybe underneath, but the school, if it's a school, then maybe of thought, it changes with time.
Mm-hmm. And you took the Metapa Resha, sir, what? Dukta kuna ngō di mētāpa rā shiā sarvā. Āni jī jatāma lūsū nā shīn chī kī jatāma bā tēvā tāna dūrīn chō kī chāmē tāna. Āni shiā bā kē jī chāmē sēn chī kī mā tūna jī yūgī rā dā jī dāng kī dukta sēng dā chī kī. Āni tāwā tī yūgī rā tēnē. Āni pā tū tsua bā kēmē shī. Āni jī dāmbu kēlēn dāmbu tī kēlēn kī rū. Āni kēlēn sāvā lē chēnē mētāpa ngō rā shiā sūn dā dukta. What about Phil? Is it Phil?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? We're doing this book, basically. It says Cutting Through Appearances.
Mm.
But it's the name of the book, but basically this is about tenets.
I think tenets must also be impermanent.
Okay, impermanent. And do you think they matter or non-matter?
I think on the same level is consciousness.
And ngay sang tang bwena kechila, ane dupta mita kwa ngo, ane chibi shepe kita, Tanya jin jin shi sang du sung du.
Shiba ni sang ma.
La re.
Cool.
What about the re?
Tenets?
Yeah. What are tenets? Are they matter like, you know, the matter or they are tenets consciousnesses or tenets what is called non-associated. I'm sorry. This
compositional factors.
Compositional factors.
All tenants?
Pardon? Yeah, all tenants. Tenants in general. Buddhist tenants, okay, non-Buddhist tenants, what are they?
Like ideas, so I don't know where that fits.
So you are saying they're ideas. So by saying they're ideas, you are saying they are consciousness.
Well, if they're correct, then they should reflect natural laws. So, like time, maybe?
Pardon?
More like time?
More like time.
Yeah.
So time is not this one. This one here?
Yeah.
It's called non-associated compositional factor.
Yeah, if they're correct.
La nghe chen e po te du te dire che sono derva. Du, ma tu du yo la du te kanso la te temen du cherva sono derva. Du.
Du zur.
Ta ta shu du se du.
Du du pembo pembo.
Mar mar ta. Ma tu ta shu du se du yarva.
La ta ta shu du la du.
Mar mar ta ta shu du se du. So my question is Dukta, you know, there's a tenet. Our tenets. Suk means a form, you know, material, matter. Or is it consciousness? Or is it what is called this one? This non-associated compositional factors.
First two,
so
I'll go for that one.
What do you think?
Define tenant for me.
So now the Lama has given the answer. Drupta, you know, tenets? Tenets are consciousnesses. Because tenets are some positions you hold. And positions held are in the mind. So tenets are
Shepa.
Please, this is Geshe-la says, don't forget, Duptas are consciousnesses or Shepa. So, Shepa is a Tibetan word, and so. Dukta is therefore consciousness. It's a position you hold about an issue. It's a psychological, you know, kind of a position or a psychological event. A position you hold about an issue by evaluating the issue against reasons for and against. So, three people passed.
Peter, go.
No.
It's a rugby game. We get 1 point.
So I might ask the same question again, you know, not that you don't remember, but to drill into us. You know, less is more. And that means less is more. If you, if at the end of tonight, if you remember just that, that is a good starting point. And Krishna says, you know, less is, what he said, what he just said, is less is more. So, Drupta Mawa means a proponent or opponent, you know, proponent, opponents, a proponent of a tenet is a person who have or who has a dialogue, metaphysical dialogue, as it were, with their partner, a conversation partner, and then uses line of reasons to make their case. So now, next question is, what is the difference between Mahayana school of thought, Mahayana school of thought, and Hinayana school of thought? Do you know Mahayana, Hinayana, everybody? I'm just doing it for new people. Mahayana, you know Mahayana? Maha means Maha. Yana is the. So, what is the difference between Mahayana and Hinayana?
Hinayana believes in the non-true existence of self, and Mahayana believes in the non-true existence of both self and phenomena.
Tengmingdang teaching to the Kebabon, Tengmingi, Gangsaga Dami Dugor, is it? Tengmingi, energy, Gangsaga, Chug, Dami Nigi Kelebor, is it? That's the difference you're saying.
Yeah.
Like the insult. What does Jen think?
I couldn't hear it. What was
it? The question was, what's the difference between...
I understand the question, but I couldn't hear the answer.
Anikunsan's answer was, a Hinayana person believes or subscribes to emptiness or selflessness of person, in a person, whereas a Mahayana proponent of Mahayana school of a proponent of a Mahayana school of thought believes in both emptiness or selflessness of person and other phenomena, not just person.
So Hinayana is a path to liberation from samsara.
Mm-hmm.
And the state of nirvana, and Mahayana goes through that stage and beyond to a commitment to continue to come back until all sentient beings are enlightened. So
mm-hmm.
it's called the greater vehicle.
Well, and Tengmen ke Drupta Mawa derwa, rangi jibo ani shivat shivat thaba shivat bodhi jibo derwa. Topjaka Tavares, Tabo Chimboge, any topja, Tadu, only Sanka Kova, Tobni, Lanya, any Jo Kola, Mayoni, Simjing, Du, Dukinjila, Tabo Chimbus, Rua, any Jigger, Rangi Jibushi, Dunyan, Tobin Togendra, 10 Sivors, 10 to the Mau. What does Red think about it? Mm-hmm. The difference between Mahayana and Hinayana school of thought.
One difference references, they don't believe that after nirvana, they don't believe that consciousness continues.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
So that emanation bodies.
Uh-huh. Tengming ge jodama wa ra ke shila. Ani nyangda thopde ko ani pemchu gyin che ba khele go ra sa ba. De ka na ani che ge su gi ko ta da long chu tsa ko la so ba khele go ba ra sa. Tin de ge ani che ge jodama wa chila. Tengming ge jodama se go ra sa.
Teche te ke na sa ba.
Te te. No. Nancy.
Ani kuzo nazi inji mara yako tiji jima amuta.
What do you think?
I am a bit confused because I thought that similar to Anikunzan, but a little bit different, that Mahayana believes in complete emptiness, that that is the ultimate reality, whereas Hinayana believes that there is something material, that there is some aspect of materialism. But I might be wrong.
Nge anu kunsang, jidang anu kunsang sumuta dhaboji kelen ge yosirwa. Yene nge te nipa kari kya ge yosina, Mahayana believes in a complete emptiness. Anu chur tamche rwa. Suna namkin pa de chur tamche. Anu chur tachi do, anu tongpa nige. Tongpa nige kyaba jing ngwe singe warirwa. Anu tengmeng ki, anu chige gansa ge dame doge doge le yang chige Zayu ji kenen go waris. Anji materialism jige rangan dhubay. Gangsa dami kenen go waris. Rangan dhubay kenen go waris. Zayu ji.
Yeah, similarly, the first two schools of thought regard this Hinayanist and I believe in the true existence of external phenomena, and the second two schools don't.
Mm-hmm. This the first two, the Hinayana school of thought believes in true existence of external phenomena?
Yeah.
And that the Mahayana school of thought doesn't?
That's right.
Nge karishu gyanse na, tengme go dhubdama wa chiru dhondu dhubba khelango wa re sara ba. Ani Mahayana dhubdama wa ke, Mahayana dhubdama wa ane chiru, ane dhile dhokde chiru dhondu dhubba khe, chiru dhongi dhongba. Ani chiru dhondu, kasura da, chiru dhondu dhubba khelango wa ma re is. Tende chila ane thakwa chime dhubdama wa sikwa re is. At the back, anybody else?
Not really sure, but can I guess? Hinayana pursues it for their own liberation, but Mahayana pursues it for the liberation of all
beings. Tengchu chen shu tu mu de nga rob de chi de chue ban de ra ge shi ba ani teng meng ki rang de rang yi chi pu yi shi de dun da zung ge wa de shi ba teng meng zhu de ma wei tek jing ge zhu de ma wei sem jin tam jie ge ani shi de dun da zung ge wa de shi at the back please
I understand that the schools are the followers' attempts to understand basic ideas of Buddhism by thinking about how the self is defined, and both of these schools have a different approach.
Yep.
So, and I guess one of them defines the self is kind of pure terms, whereas the other school seems to take a more practical, that it's got a mixture of some I'm getting to grips with the idea that the schools are very important.
My understanding is a Mahayana school or proponent would say that it's a transitional state for consciousness between samsara and nirvana, whereas Hinayana wouldn't believe that.
Tengme yine kati şeba gün çeydu gore rwa. Tisi gore. Tek cengi diri sigo gore. Ani şeba transition iska sura ta. Koy gün tüne. Ani cengi sanke sağla bada çoğu yuva cik. Ke lengin cikla. Tek cengi ke melengi şeba. Nyangdeo topde gön şeba gün çey. Çeba dögen dili. Tengme re singi dili. Reci gore cik. Tengi duğu sunu. Hmm.
So, Geshe-la says, going by the answers you have given, the answers clearly tell me that you have given serious thought to the teachings, and meaning that you show understanding. So the answer given by Jane and Lin clearly shows the definition of a Mahayana person, not Mahayana proponent of Mahayana. Sorry, doesn't deal with the proponent of a Mahayana school of thought. There's a distinction between a Mahayana practitioner and a proponent of a Mahayana school of thought. What you have just described to me is a clear distinction between Mahayana practitioner and the Hinayana practitioner. And what Jane and Lin described to us is a clear distinction and a correct distinction between Mahayana person and Hinayana person. Not proponent. So there's a big difference, first of all, we need to understand.
Do you understand? Okay.
A lot of other answers about the difference between the two proponents of proponents said that the difference lies in whether or not someone believes in Sambhogakaya or whether consciousness ceases at nirvana, or whether consciousness moves beyond nirvana to Buddhahood and so on. So such answers form part of the total answer. The main difference between a proponent of a Hinayana and a Mahayana school of thought is a Mahayana school of thought, everybody? Mahayana school of thought believes in emptiness of the phenomena or selflessness of phenomena, as Amira is saying, selflessness of phenomena, whereas Hinayana a proponent of Hinayana school of thought does not believe in selflessness of phenomena. In other words, they say phenomena have self-existence. Mahayana says not only person, even phenomena lacks self-existence. Angela, I asked people before you came, the question is, I'd like to ask you, to give you a chance to participate. And what is a tenet? Is tenet consciousness, matter, or non-associated compositional factor? Form is a tenet, form like, matter like pen, table, or consciousness, or is it impermanent phenomena like time, neither consciousness nor matter?
I don't fully understand.
Have a step.
But I'm going to go to the third one.
The third one. Yes, sebo shushik mundu sirwa. Yene peche, I'm going to go for the third one. Sumba dal droge nisa, sumba de kele nisa. Sumba demen duje.
Ya, teri ngay kondol towa kase na, dudu na te sonsh lae na. Tunda wa jiji, tunda ma wa jiji, te jingu teme ya tunda wa kodo sonsh, che wa sonsh ya na.
Dare.
Te yin jimi jiri ngay wa jiri ngay wa jiri ngay.
So, please, three points that I want everybody to remember tonight is what is tenet? Tenet is, is tenet form, consciousness, and so on. Second is, what is a proponent of a tenet? What is or who is? What makes someone to be a proponent of a tenet? Third is difference between a proponent of a Hinayana and a Mahayana school of thoughts, schools of thought. So please, we have got three important raw data. So once again, a tenet is a canon, psychological position or event. That means a position you hold about issues. And Dukdamawa means a proponent of a school of thought is a person who subscribes through some views and then expresses his or her views about it to other people and then have a debate or conversation. That's called Duttamau. And the difference between Mahayana, difference between the proponent of a Mahayana and the Hinayana is that Mahayana school of thought believes both, believes in selflessness of phenomena, whereas Hinayana school of thought doesn't believe in it. So that's the three key pieces of information. So now, last week or the week before that, we started talking about mind only school of thought, the third school. And I briefly covered the historical development. Historical development of a mind-only school, the mind-only school, or Chitra Matra. Now, historically speaking, mind-only school views were prevalent during Buddha's own time. Mind-only school views were prevalent during Buddha's own time, but it was this master called Asanga. This master called Asanga. This master called Asanga, who founded and disseminated, propagated mind, and who instituted, propagated, and disseminated mind-only school of thought, Asanga, an Indian Buddhist master. His name is Asanga. So what did Asanga do? He delineated Buddha's discourse or teaching into interpretive or provisional and definitive. He said some teachings are provisional or interpretive, whereas others are definitive and they can be accepted without literally as what they say. So, why Asanga had to do that? He did that because he took full advantage of four types of freedom Buddha has given to his followers. And so the first thing is, what we are dealing is, we are going through four reliances. And these four reliances have something to do with the freedom of choice. Freedom of choice. And the first reliance says, don't rely on the person, rely on the teaching. So rely not on the person, rely but on the teaching. Rely and trust. Trust not the person but the teaching. So rely. By saying that, Buddha said, you don't trust me because I am your teacher. You trust me by examining my teaching as valid or not. If you find what I say grounded in logic, reason, foolproof. If you find what I say foolproof, based in empirical experiences, for example, then you believe what I say. Otherwise, don't believe me as a person because I'm your teacher. So that's immense liberty and the freedom of choice. Second reliance, don't trust the words, trust the meaning, or don't rely on words, rely on the meaning. So then, what this means is, as a Buddhist, for example, we need to check the content of the discourse, not the diction in with which the discourse is conveyed. And it is no good to rely on a discourse presented in a flowery, rich diction when the content is not grounded in, not in concurrence with reality. So we must, therefore trust the meaning. If a teaching makes sense, and if the content of the teaching marries with the reality, the ground reality, although the words may not be well chosen, the content can be trusted. So now, with the content or with the meaning, there are two meanings, provisional meaning and ultimate or definitive meaning. Of the two, trust the definitive. So, now, what is definitive and what is provisional? Now, what is definitive and provisional can vary from school to school. So from mind-only school point of view, a discourse is definitive if the words of the discourse are literally acceptable. And that is, if the words of the discourse are literally acceptable to the extent that they say what they mean, And a teaching or discourse is said to be provisional if the words are not to be taken literally. If the words are to be taken literally, it's definitive, ultimate. If the words cannot be taken literally, provisional. And the fourth freedom choice is trust, okay, don't trust on
Namshin Madin Rod.
Namshin Madin Rod.
Namshin Madin Rod.
Namshin Madin Rod. Namshin Madin Rod. Namshin Madin Rod. Namshin Madin Rod. Namshin Madin Rod. Namshin Madin Rod. Namshin Madin Rod. Namshin Madin Rod. Namshin Madin Rod.
Namshin Madin
Rod. Namshin Madin Rod. Namshin
Madin Rod.
Namshin Madin Rod. Namshin Madin Rod. Namshin Madin
Rod. Namshin Madin Rod. Namshin Madin
Rod. Namshin
Madin Rod.
Namshin Madin Rod. Namshin Madin Rod. Namshin Madin
Rod. Namshin Madin Rod. Namshin Madin Rod. Namshin Madin Rod. Don't trust consciousnesses, but trust wisdom consciousness. Okay, don't trust or rely not on consciousnesses, which are, you know, our six consciousnesses that we have.
That's what it refers to.
Yeah, don't trust them, rather trust yishi. Yishi means wisdom consciousness. Yishi, wisdom mind. Okay, don't trust consciousness, but trust yishe, a wisdom consciousness. Wisdom consciousness. Don't trust your normal consciousnesses, which are past sensual consciousnesses and mental consciousness, but rather rely upon this word, yishe. And the Tibetan word is for those. It is like this. Ye means primordial. She means primordial consciousness. But this has been taken to mean wisdom consciousness.
I got a little confused about what three is. So one was don't rely on reliable teaching, so trust by examining. Two was don't trust words, trust meaning. And four is don't trust consciousness, trust wisdom of consciousness. What exactly was three? I'm just confused.
Well, the third one was don't trust provisional meaning, trust definitive meaning. Okay, definitive meaning. And then Geshe La Dalama went on to explain difference between provisional and ultimate.
Yeah, I just needed the headline.
Yeah, sure. Good.
Thank you very much.
Could you give us an example of, simple example of that?
Of what?
Of a definitive and a
Kishila Tushisi Anichik Tangdun and Yetunki Anichik Dun the Yangu Sora Nansarawa and the Peji example Anichik Peji Tangdungi Dondatik Jarawa, Tile Peji Nyetunki Dondatan and the Peji. So in that case, there are two ways of presenting provisional and definitive. Mind on a school way and the highest school of thought. The highest school of thought, the name of the highest school of thought is called Prasangika. Okay, the name of a highest school of thought is Prasangika. Okay, please, it is really Prasangika. Prasangika. The name of the highest school of thought is called Prasangika. What that means is consequentialist. Okay, consequentialist. So Geshe-la says the Dangdun Ngeten can be from the mind only school point of view and this school point of view. No. So, from a mind-only school point of view, a provisional discourse is a discourse whose words cannot be literally taken to be true. Whose words cannot be taken to be literally true or literally acceptable. So, and from the mind-only school of and a discourse which can be literally taken to be true or acceptable is definitive. Now, an example of a provisional teaching from mind-only school of point of view is this. The Buddha said, okay, Buddha has issued a statement. The statement says, the five aggregates, you know, the five aggregates, body and five, four consciousnesses. The five aggregates are a baggage, you know, baggage or a load. And the person is the carrier, a porter. A person is the porter. And that, this school says, this teaching of this statement of the Buddha seems to show that there is self of a person. There is a self of a person because the person is different from the aggregate. And that teaching is a provisional teaching. They say, such a statement of the teaching of, such a statement of the Buddha cannot be taken to be definitive. It is only provisional. Because ultimately we do know there is no self of a person. But this seems to say there is a self of a person. No. So, from mind-only school point of view, an example of definitive teaching of the Buddha, which you can readily accept without questioning and reasoning, is Buddha's teaching that all phenomena are, all compounded phenomena are impermanent. And that, the mind-only school of thought says, is an example of a definitive teaching, because things are. Now, from the Prasangika point of view, the highest school point of view, an example of an example of a provisional teachings are teachings pertaining to relative truth. Okay, all teachings about relative truth or conventional truths are provisional discourses or teachings.
Can you give us an example?
Okay, then now, emptiness, all teachings about emptiness, emptiness of inherent existence or emptiness of intrinsic existence. Emptiness, all teachings about emptiness of intrinsic nature of things are definitive according to this school. So, while mind on a school and this higher school of thought both use same languages in delineating, or same terms in delineating teaching of the Buddha into Dangdun means interpretive or provisional meaning and a definitive meaning, but the way they interpret what exactly is provisional and so on is different. For a mind-only school, a teaching is provisional because the words themselves, the actual words themselves of the teaching needed to be interpreted to show the underlying meaning. So the mind on the school really use for them whether a teaching is a definitive or provisional depends on the words. Whereas for the higher school point of view, it is not the words, but the content. And for the high school point of view, only teachings about emptiness are definitive because emptiness is the definitive underlying principle of all phenomena. And anything other than emptiness is provisional. So it doesn't talk about whether words are literally acceptable or not.
Give us an example. So, an example of provisional teaching from Prasangika point of view is Buddha's teaching on impermanence of form. You know, form, matter, impermanence of form. And Buddha's teaching on emptiness of intrinsic nature of form is an example of ultimate or the definitive. So, why is Buddha's teaching on impermanence provisional? Why is that provisional? Why is that not you know, definitive? Because impermanence, while it is true of phenomena of form, impermanence is not emptiness. Impermanence is a relative phenomenon, a conventional truth. It's a conventional attribute, not the ultimate attribute or emptiness.
So I'd like to reiterate these Dhamma statements, these four entrustments, sorry, these four reliances are practically freedom of choices Buddha has given to his followers. And that I take to be a unique gift of the Buddha. So now, if you relate these four reliances on a spiritual practice level, the first reliance, when it says, rely not on person but on teaching. Now, it really means you should not judge the book by its cover, kind of thing. You know, it is not the person. One shouldn't judge the teacher, a Buddhist teacher, by the physical charisma. Rather, they should judge the Buddhist teacher by the message he or she brings. So, don't judge a person by the looks. And the second reliance, trust the meaning, not the words. So what it means is, when, like for tonight, for example, when listening to the discourse, it is the content that we need to listen to, not so much the words. So try to hold on to the content, not the words. So with the meaning, with regard to the meaning, it is the definitive meaning, the ultimate meaning, that's what we need to look for in the discourses, and that's and what we need to trust. So, when the fourth one says, rely not on consciousnesses, rather on wisdom, well, that means, okay, you thought to yourself, you know, you thought to yourself, I've got what I think is a definitive meaning. Now, it's a definitive meaning, while the content may be definitive in nature, but what part of your consciousness does what part of your consciousness understands the definitive content? Is it understood by one of the six consciousnesses, and which is which can be mistaken, because particularly mental consciousness is associated with the concept. Concepts or conceptual minds are necessarily mistaken. So the teaching here says, don't rest on the laurel, holding on to an understanding by conceptual mind and thinking that you've got it. Rather, try to get the definitive meaning empirically through wisdom consciousness. So that's another important message.
So that would, I assume that would come by meditation.
That geshila rol, ano chige namshila mede yishila ten tsude gar ani ane che namshi thube ane che ge tokwa la made ane yishi nusum la nusum nusum la nusum tokwa la te te sene ra wa nusum tokwa tokwa la te gom kya ne mda lapsa ye wa mar ba sum ta gom la ra le ga ba sum So indeed, it was a question aptly asked, and so of the four inner reliances, the first two, and this the first two reliances tell us that we need to get a lot of teaching. No, remember, rely not on a person but on teaching, not on the words but on meaning. So that means listen, listen and listen, get more teaching. The third reliance deals with reflection, contemplation, the practice of contemplation, personal reflection. And the fourth reliance deals with meditation, simple pointed or analytical meditation and single pointed concentration meditation. So these are the three processes of Buddhist learning. First, we need to learn, that is through hearing. Secondly, we need to internalize through contemplation. Thirdly, we need to analytically meditate and single pointedly meditate. So, yes. So the four reliances talk about three ways of Buddhist learning. Yes. So, what the four reliances does say is that first of all, we need to educate ourselves in the Buddhist learning. How? We need to receive teaching. When we receive teaching, you know, we need to remember the content and not so much the diction and the words, flowery words used. So once you have understood, once you have got some content, and then you need, the content can be provisional and provisional in nature and ultimate in nature. So you need to reflect, contemplation. You need to reflect on the definitive meaning, for example. And once you reflect, you will arrive at a conclusion. You will arrive at the right conclusion, and that is realization. And one shouldn't rest on the realization, but rather one needs to now single-pointedly direct the mind on that realization to deepen that into the recesses, as it were, of your consciousness. In other words, make it, you know, spiritual realization. For that, meditation is needed.
So provisional meaning, we should always be driving to look behind and deeper towards the definitive meaning. The thing that I don't understand at all is really definitive meaning is closely related to emptiness.
Uh-huh.
So if I'm thinking of going through provisional meanings and going deeper and deeper into understanding,
mm-hmm.
how am I getting closer to emptiness? That's my question.
Geshe-la, ane tuji se ta dangdeng to ta ngedeng to ta dangdeng de ngedeng nye na rwa. Ani che dangdeng ngedeng to kwa la kasa, ta ngedeng to kwa la dangdeng la ra le ge re se rwa. Ani te ke tu kukos ke na ana ngedu sene kare se tu sene oma thank you bolo la ngedu sene chön na gi nelu thau do tong ni ba ngedu se do se ro nelu thau do tong ni lo to bola ane je jang den gyu ne jo do go do mo da jo hot kore je tong ni lo la sa do te do se ro ba ja jo jang den gyu ne do go do kan ane jang den ne chi ta ya wa chegi chegi chik pa chik kha ko san te de na ma te ting sab de chi dene maa ching ting sabdo sabdo chir kanzam suno ta nga ngedun na lesun samaji ching ta nawa chwa rao sa wala chwa rao chik ane ngedun na dangdun chik ta yawa chegi 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 chik tatu ngedun le ngedun le du kala ta ngedun tong ye sara samaji didu kanda khao kubi le sara
ngedun tong ye sara sara kanda khao kubi sara
nare ta dangdun ki ka shingna ku zhuwa Chingi yagang zhubba sege, sege chene Kansam suno te ngedun Dangdun ki drip tabi Te ngedun chowar wasung do
Ngedun sewa te shudun Chi te du te ke nilu te ngedun sewa wa
Dari
Chi te du te ke nilu te la Ripe jawa shene ta ne Tan tangi wekha ta ripe jawa shene ne Kuru Kasama Jibin lana ta ji nye Ngepa nyeza yar wa
Dari
Tā tēlō sōsō kō nē sēng tēng tā mā tē kē dēng tō sō nō, tā ngī dēng nye sē.
So, how do we know here to get to the level when you think this is what the definitive meaning is? First of all, you need a lot of line of reasoning to probe into, to investigate or to probe into emptiness, which is said to be the definitive meaning. And in the beginning, as you probe into the emptiness through line of reasoning, you will form a conceptual understanding, which could be an intellectual understanding. And as intellectual understanding, in a conceptual understanding that you have arrived, that you have achieved, is now further meditated on, further familiarized. Further familiarize by way of analytical and single-pointed concentration meditation, and then you will be confronted with emptiness face to face, and only you, it's a very personal experience, only you who investigates will have that feeling. So, with the psychological, you know, events like a realization of emptiness, psychological events can be directly experienced by the person, but the person cannot do justice to that psychological event or experience through verbal expression. You cannot. In general. You know, you may have a feeling, very strong feeling about something, and you could be absolutely right about it. But talk about it,
you will not do full justice to what to how you feel inside it. And particularly when we're talking about, you know, gauging and getting to the bottom of a nitty-gritty, bottom of the issue, that is emptiness. Emptiness is such a subtle yet overwhelming, overarching principle. It is extremely difficult to, while people talk about it, it is, when people are not doing full justice to the real experience of emptiness. And much like, you know, if you are given different kinds of lollies, lollies, or candy, or what we call brown sugar, the example is brown sugar. If you ask, have it, and what does it taste like? You say, of course, it's really sweet. How sweet? You can only say, it's really sweet, extremely sweet. But, you know, you experience sweetness, but you cannot say, you cannot portray, depict sweetness in the world as its experience. In the same way, emptiness, when you do understand it directly, is like a mute experience. Highly powerful personally, but when you try to, you are like a mute, is trying to express, you know, his or her experience. And that's why Buddha says, Masam Jumi Shira Parujan, perfection of wisdom gone beyond, is inconceivable, inexpressible. Inconceivable for ordinary mind, but inexpressible even for the person who directly experiences it. But however, when you do gain the direct wisdom understanding it, then you will get it.
So would Geshe-la recommend a certain type of meditation in order to go to the very depths and find that emptiness, realize it?
Tā kēshilā tūjī sērvā, anā chīgā māsāṁ jīmē shērā pārāṁ chēndē anā sōsō rāṁ rī yīshī tōni ñamsū ñuṁ gōgē nā sērvā anā tīlā anā tī meditation tē gōm jātāṁ mīsī yukī rāvā sērvā gōm tīndē jāvē nā dātāṁ tīndē dā rūpa tīndē dīmne anā kīmtē tīndē sāṁ tāngvē nā anā chīgā tōgbā nīgā tā tīl chīmbā chī tōgā rē sērvā Jason the meditation kita kom kandesh jane tong mun yik ting ting tha de nge thu ji ko re so de ting nge la kom ka re ja yo re so de
ne jisana tane gajani binde tene ne jisana tane tene soso ta ne yone yondo lo khti ne tisho lo jese sano ta na shina soso ra ne ta jede ta bi lo she ji ta
na s anti ya de sto chao de shu ba a chao sa de pian zo
ta gom ja ta ta te ta ne soso ne chi na ji pa pe na pa ba na ji ni ja wa ni na ma ta soso ne rong ni na ma cha ba
以前的天使用了人都算了结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果结果 lines of reasoning, you know, in this area, different categories of lines of reasoning. And the one that I started talking about was this Sunday, last Sunday. And one of such category of reason is called four-point analysis. Four-point analysis of emptiness. For example, you know, a pot, emptiness of a pot. So first you need to know what the 4 points of analysis are. By the way, for your information, the first point Geshe-la said yesterday was the point of ascertaining object of negation. What is what object whose emptiness we need to establish? So you need to educate yourself concerning the four-point analysis. And as you, for example, when you look at a pot of flour, or let's say just a pot, the pot itself is a conventional truth. It's impermanent while it has its own characteristics. These characteristics belie the underlying, or the height, underlying truth, which is emptiness. So anyway, Geshe-la says, as you reason that pot does not exist in the way it appeared, so it is empty of that appearance of selfhood about it. So that's intellectual understanding. Now you can understand it. And once you have, you want to form intellectual understanding, then you need to meditate on that intellectual understanding over and again until you starkly, empirically see emptiness.
So emptiness means emptiness of self, of interpretation, of language. Every time you use language to describe something, it's not empty because it's got a language on it. So somehow you're coming on that sort of an ultimate and unchanging thing, which is empty of ourselves.
Empty of ourselves. Ani da mabu chani. Ani chigi tinzu tongwa yisna takje tatang tinzu maibangwa. Ani chikora mu chio namla yue tekin takpe mabu chigla tongwa yisi gore. Ba sundarwa?
Taani tongwa yisna tijima ni ume chanta kala shuwa yisi.
Taan
rotan mte.
So now, if you could come, so that in other words, I'm going to talk about emptiness when I talk about the middle way school, maybe sometime later. But I want to say this. So the process of moving to empirical understanding of emptiness is this way. First, you listen to the teaching and you gain some presumption. You know, presumption? Or things could be that way. You know, assumption, presumption. Okay, first you listen and then you form some idea which is more like you assume this is what it is all about. First is assumption or presumption. No. I'm sorry, not assumption. First you would have a doubt, you know, doubt or healthy doubt, skepticism. First you have a skepticism. And when you have a healthy skepticism, then you become curious. You want to know. Once you become curious and interested, then you employ personal line of reasoning and you ask questions about it. And based on that, and then you'll gain some understanding. And so, you know, from you move from
doubt to a presumption to inference to in a direct cognition. So this is how you move through the system. So I think I will stop here tonight. By the way, have you got any questions about the four reliances and or any other questions pertaining to yes?
Could you just run through that list of the parties from doubt to
Krishna Tusi Kasya Kesumne Rava Musum Badaji Gunaj Mo Joko to us Rava Kesumne and Kava Yichu Leva Rosum.
The
first term is first you listen, get teaching, hearing. Then you, based on that, you develop some skepticism or some, you know, suspicion. So that skepticism or suspicion will generate interest or interest or curiosity. So once you have interest and or interest, then you will ask many questions, and you will, you will investigate. So, based on the personal questions, inquiry, then you will get the answer. You will get the right answer. Right information, and the right information about that issue is the right, okay, the right information that you understand is the correct understanding. So once you have a right understanding, then you shouldn't rest on your laurel of understanding. Rather, you need to meditate on that understanding. You know, you need to hone, reinforce that understanding. And there comes a time when that understanding will take on a new meaning called realization. That's the process.
Yeah. Angela,
Angela, since you are the person who's asking questions, any other questions? Yeah.
With the fourth reliance, are the six consciousness the same as six aggregates?
No. Because this is the case, Angela. And check.
Similar.
Shepal Mate, Namshil Mate, Yishil Kendrava, Namshil Singh, Pumbong at the Chibur Vessel.
Oh, Nashi Singh, make ship on Navashi, Nayship, Lishipa, Nashi Nayo, Tomo Shisera,
Narel,
Yuji Shibal and Ya. Oh, Japo Zetan, Topa, Yishiba, and Yishise.
Ross.
Shetam Mushinachi. Three Yiji Shiba, and Topa, and Mochi, Yiji Shiba.
Ross.
そう。
那最后一部分, when it says don't rely on consciousnesses, the six consciousnesses are, you know, five sensory consciousnesses, eye, ear, nose, tongue, and body. You know, these are five sensory consciousnesses. And on top of that, then you add conceptual mental consciousness. Mental consciousness can be empirical, non-conceptual, but this in this case, conceptual mental consciousness. So these are six consciousnesses. And when it says don't rely on that, don't rely, that means, you know, sensory consciousnesses, from the speaking from a high school point of view, sensory consciousnesses are mistaken. While you see, you know, a pot as a pot, but it is still mistaken with regard to the true nature of pot. And therefore, all sensory consciousnesses are mistaken, as is conceptual mind, or what's called Dokpa means concepts. So now, so these are not the five aggregates. The five aggregates are the form aggregate, you know, form a body, material body. The remaining four are the aggregate of a feeling or sensation, aggregate of discriminating awarenesses, and aggregate of what is called compositional factors, and the last is called the aggregate of consciousness, aggregate of consciousness. So the aggregate of consciousness subsumes the six consciousnesses. You know, the aggregate of consciousnesses subsumes the six consciousnesses, sensory and the mental. Yes.
那他那些在讲这些东西，刚才说了，看了看了，听了，但是没人来。现在，所以说，诺尔基，刚才他们那些啥的，所以说，哎，看看了，老下也有人。那是。So,
yeah, keep asking questions of any doubt you have, and although at the moment things are new, and therefore, you know, everything is can be slightly misplaced. Some, okay, but in time, they will all come together. We are all new, and therefore, you know, Geshe-la said, you are all new, including me, and therefore, it will be, you know, it will be foreign, and it may, things may sound foreign, but things will grow on you, let alone you. And I have been in this business, he says, for over 30 odd years. Still, I have not fully mastered, the, you know, Buddhism. So it takes time.
Yep.
Yes, okay, you are. Yeah. No.
With the Prasarika emphasis on emptiness, so the emphasis on the content, when we're talking about definitive or
provisional
teachings or discourse, is that because it's emphasizing the fact that an understanding of emptiness is needed for enlightenment? And if so, then why doesn't the mind-only school have such an emphasis? Why?
Okay.
Yeah.
Kishila Rava. Ani, Oma, thank you, Rava. Ani, Changdeo, the Ngedun, and Changdeo, the Tongmanyu, Tongmanyu, Jojo, Jebe, Tenju, Tongmanyu, Tongmanyu, Korangdang, Rava. Tongmanyu, Jojo, Jebe, Tenju, and Jigata. Emphasis
ね、なんかまたんじめね、とんばにて、そうじばなげばでんじめじこうにとこまでて、けいちんばれせにとんばにみてせ、そんばま。なし。あ、その、どんのじめがちて。あ、さたね、もうちょべも、あ、じょばとれまととらやまれせ。てみじそのとんらるまの。
So the Prasangika school says emptiness is the definitive in the sense that when you apply what is called ultimate analysis, or what we call the ultimate searching analysis, then at the end of that, at the end of that ultimate probing, ultimate searching analysis, what you find is things are empty of previously thought of or previously believed true or intrinsic or objective existence. And so emptiness, therefore, is considered ultimate in that sense, ultimate. Not necessarily, an emptiness is not considered definitive, not because it is very much needed for Buddhahood, although it does, although it is needed, but it's not considered ultimate because it's very much needed. It's called ultimate because when you probe and probe and probe and probe, at the end, ultimately what you find is things are empty of what they seem to be.
So
the mind on the school, as we had before, says a discourse is a provisional. If we cannot take the discourse, if we cannot literally accept the discourse, because, okay, for example, you know, the aggregates are a load and the person is the carrier. So that suggests for Samad Ola School that there is an independent person apart from the aggregates who carries it. And anyway, so the, for the mind-only school, provisional is that we cannot, a discourse whose words cannot be literally trusted in what they say. And a definitive discourse for mind-only school is something that can be literally accepted. Anyway, what Geshe-la says here is, if you understand the mind-only school meaning of the definitive, it paves the, that understanding paves the way for better understanding or for the definitive of the Prasangika school.
Yes. So that one.
Everybody,
I had a question.
Yeah.
It was to do with the severance of the non of the duality and after the enlightenment of a Buddha. So the consciousness remains, but what is severed is the was the dual appearance of things. That means that Buddha says. Not form and emptiness separately, but form and emptiness as one. Is that correct? Is that the is that the duality that's been talked about? The duality of form and emptiness, non-duality of form and emptiness.
Example. Yeah. Nyendu thakwa se na anu chik nyangin da su na chik ta shepa pimshi gyun cha chukwa rishwa hap thakching lo la saan kya su na anu shepa nam kiin tobe cha rwa shepa kuram gyun na na yinan ji nyinan chubi bacha nyinan chubi bata zay na rwa nyinan chubi zay si do ka na anu chik saan kya ki anu ka su re dhamba nyi chik cha si na nyinan chubi kanta zay kwa rishwa
Denang
means appearance of true existence. Appearance of true existence has been dubbed. Nyenang Chuba means dualistic of all. Okay, dualistic appearance. Okay, Denang, appearance of true existence has been dubbed, has been called dualistic appearance. So when your mind evolves into omniscient mind, that is when you become enlightened. All dualistic appearances, meaning appearance of true existence, both in meditation and post meditation, totally disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Even when let alone, besides, remember, Buddha is perennially in meditation. There's never a moment when Buddha is not in meditative absorption. So while within that meditative absorption, Buddha sees the true truths. Buddha sees a relative truth, but without dualistic appearance of true
inherent
yeah.
existence of
yeah, or of the vase, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Buddha sees the vase, but without seeing true existence.
Yeah.
So that is called.
Because there's lots of no dualism, isn't there?
But no, no, no,
I mean,
no.
That, that, yeah.
that is called duality.
Yeah.
And duality or the dual appearance, not only appearance of true existence, intrinsic existence called dual appearance. And when you become Buddha, that is completely extinguished along with the bhakcha, means the subtle predispositions responsible for true appearance or appearance of true existence.
Yep.
Shall we stop here?
Okay. 13 page, 13.